A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We're all about community, growing community through commerce, doing our part to make the world just a bit better, all over, all around us. We're proudly presented by the good community-minded people at Horicon Bank. You're building community, when you look at it from a business angle, all great businesses, all great institutions really need to take the time, put in the work to create a process that thoughtfully connects with tools that create community for their employees, for their students, for their citizens, for their customers. It's a pretty good plan for success. So today on the show, we're going to talk about health and wellness and that path to success and how it connects with community. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. It's being observed across the country. It actually started in 1949. Mental health, not a new thing at all. Health and wellness, truly important topics in our communities, not only in business, but increasingly in higher education. We all want a little bit more focus. We all need probably some more sleep. We want to optimize our performance. We want to take time to, meditate and think about our goals and strive to have even better impact in our communities. But it doesn't happen overnight. You need the resources to help your mental health move forward. So even though it's summer break, colleges and universities are looking to further hone in on their strategies to better connect their students and their communities to opportunities to create a culture of wellness. Today, Marquette University's president, Dr. Kimo Ayun, and the newly appointed chief wellness officer at Marquette University, Luis de Zingotita, will join us. Luis and Kimo have some great thoughts on what's happening on campus and around the campus community in terms of health and wellness. Dr. Ayun, now the fully inaugurated president, the 25th president of Marquette University. Excited to have them both join us in studio in just a bit. But first, as we do each and every beginning of the show, let's go to Up.
Now it's time for the
Two, count 'em, two.
Two Up on the Upswing.
Two Up, two things in the business community world that I'm seeing that you need to know about right now. What do Grand Rapids and Milwaukee have in common? Take a look at Gen X, right? Gen X is that 18 to 27-year-old age group. They're starting to get into the home buying market. But where are they buying? To answer that, LendingTree analyzed all of its mortgage purchases and all of its mortgage purchase requests on its platform across the country, specifically in the top 50 largest metro areas. Here's what they found. Grand Rapids, Michigan had the largest share of mortgage requests from Gen Xers. Nearly a third of all mortgage requests there came from Gen X. Salt Lake City was next. And coming in third, for those homeowners in that Gen X group looking to get into that first-time home, Milwaukee. Indeed, must be our great community-minded people, maybe the cost of living, access to the lake, good quality schools, so many different factors there for sure. You look on the other side of the coin, San Francisco was the big metro where Gen Zers account for less than 10%. San Jose and Las Vegas are following in that group. The average down payment differed by about as much as $150,000 when you analyze the top metros with some of the lower metros. Home buyers range from $181,000 in San Jose for down payments to just about $30,000 in Pittsburgh. The most popular metros, again, Grand Rapids, Salt Lake, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, and Cincinnati. The least popular metros for this age group? San Francisco, San Jose, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and New York. On a macro level, the National Association of Realtors say that 83% of metro areas saw the single-family home price grow in quarter one, and nationally, the median single-family home price grew by 3.4% in the first quarter. Second up, from gravel to gardens. I love stories like this, especially when they're happening right here in downtown Milwaukee. There's a downtown lot that's just dust and rocks. Could eventually host another housing development in downtown, probably another high-rise. But for now, the lot at 711 East Kilbourne Avenue, a property owned by Newland Enterprises, is going to be turned into a community garden. The firm was using it for construction staging for its two big developments, the Ascent and the Nova. The Ascent is on Kilbourne. The Nova is down a little farther north on Van Buren. Now the construction is done on both of those entities. Newland wants to create a garden for residents of those buildings and for the entire community. The garden is going to be operated by Newland. Slight zoning change is needed to make it happen. But it's going to be there probably for up to 3 to 4 to 5 years, the company says, before it makes way for its next development on the space. The garden is going to have raised flower beds, going to provide a buffer with lower beds, some fruits, vegetables, flowers in the interior. A really good welcoming space that will, they say, be open to the public to walk through and enjoy between 8 a.m. and dusk, according to officials at Newland. And another great thing about this is Community Building 101. It works right into what the Downtown Master Plan is all about, creating diverse land uses that provide community amenities. As the principal planner at the City of Milwaukee said, this is quite a lovely idea. I agree. It's going to be a wonderful enhancement to downtown Milwaukee. Coming up next, health and wellness from a campus lens. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Communities, colleges, universities, businesses, they're all looking to further hone in on their strategies to better connect their constituencies to opportunities that create a true culture of wellness. Marquette University is no different. I'm honored to have in studio today Marquette University President Dr. Kimo Ayun and the university's first Chief Wellness Officer, Luis de Zingotita. Luis, Kimo, thanks for taking the time out of your day and joining us on The Upswing.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me back.
Of course. So, Luis, you are pretty much new to Milwaukee, new to Marquette. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure, yeah. It's been such a blessing to come to this community to get this amazing job. I pinch myself every day I come to work. I'm coming from the Twin Cities, where I had worked for 5 years at University of St. Thomas at a similar integrated health center. We had three legs of the stool. We had kind of a public health group, a medical clinic, and a counseling center. This group's added recreation to that mix, and it's just an amazing opportunity to really build healthy habits for students, help them be well, and live up to kind of the cura personalis value of our Jesuit institution. Before that, I was 15 years in Boston, so okay. I went to Boston College for grad school. It was a great school. I got an MBA and a master's in social work. I knew I wanted to be in service organizations. I worked at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, which is a hospital that really supports academic cancer care, and worked on helping building clinics, helping building outreach in the community to expand their mission. And that kind of sense of supporting vulnerable people, helping individuals, was a great opportunity for me to grow professionally. I got to be an adjunct professor back at Boston College, teaching a little bit about planning for health and mental health and also financial management and nonprofits. And that's where I had one leg in kind of education, another one in healthcare. Mm-hmm. And that's what led me to St. Thomas and ultimately here, where I can continue that work.
All right. That's great. Yeah. So you've really been able to see it from the patient side, from the student side, from the community side, and understand all angles.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You can't only treat the individual. You have to build a campus and a community wellness strategy that facilitates wellness, that helps people build healthy habits, helps people connect and really feel like they belong. And that's what I really appreciate about Marquette. They're really taking a multi-pronged approach. All the faculty, all the staff, all the community members are focused on building a web of support for students, helping them build healthy habits and this concept of resilience. Because let's face it, there's a lot of challenges in the world today, and we need to build our students' ability to weather those storms.
Yeah. Dr. Ayoun, as hiring Luis as the first permanent chief wellness officer at the university, obviously opening the Wellness and Healthcare Recreation Center, an important step. Why did you want to create this position, and kind of how does it all come together under your vision?
Yeah, larger picture is we want to transform the lives of our students to create men and women for and with others. And in order to do that, we need to make sure they're successful through all 4 years and to finish at Marquette and graduate. And the question we asked ourselves is, if we're serious about wellness of our students, which we are, who gets up every single day and the first thing on their mind is, what will I do today to make our students healthier? And so that's the creation of this program, a national search. It brings Luis to us, and we feel we finally have the pathway that we need to get to everything that we want to build a complete student.
Yeah. It's been a while since I was a student at Marquette, but I look back. I mean, there was a lot of resources. You have fitness classes, coaching, clinical care, faculty mentorship. But now it's kind of next level, and I think it's something that parents almost expect their students to have access to. So talk, Luis, a little bit about opening the Wellness and Health for Recreation Center. It opened in the spring semester. What's the reception been like, and what's it like to just have a kind of a brand new modern facility?
I mean, it's been nothing short of remarkable. Students clearly wanted this and are gravitating towards it. You know, we've had over 7,000 of our 11,000 students enter the space. And when you look at undergrads, almost 80% of them have come and used the facility, which is great for a four-month period. My mission is to get that to 100%, making sure every student knows that they can come to us for their wellness, build healthy habits, and we're there for them if they're in a crisis. If to put it in numbers, we had 180,000 swipes the entire year. I mean, we had 180,000 swipes this semester. Over the entire year, we had 250,000 the year before. So that's 90% growth. But what's important to me is it's 40% more unique students in that short period. So how can we get every student to build those healthy habits? The more students who embrace Cura Personalis, take care of mind, body, and spirit, hopefully the less of them from a population level will need our crisis services.
Yeah. So, Dr. Ayoun, this reimagined facility kind of brings together all wellness services under one roof. And I always say, like, this isn't fluff. Like, these aren't programs and resources for students that it's just exercise and yoga. But there's so much more to bringing everything under one umbrella to really provide that one-stop shop for everything that you need for your mental health.
Yeah, we talk about Cura Personalis at Marquette. That's the care for the whole person. And physical health is one sort of way you take care of yourself, but there's also the mental piece that is extremely important. And when our students leave, we want them to leave with lifelong habits. We want them to lead a fulfilled life and be able to pass those on to their children and the other people that they come into contact with. And so that's the first part, is just how do you develop those healthy habits at a younger age that they carry with them forever. But the second piece about it is taking away the stigma. So too often, you put, you know, counseling on one end of campus and the workout facilities on another end of campus. But when we say is we put all of those in the one place, whether or not it's addiction recovery or mental health or your medical health or your physical health, you put it all in one place. And you would say, these are all the many ways to be able to take care of yourself. Come here and we will help you to do that.
Yeah, definitely a new era for health and wellness at all universities. And when we come back, I want to continue our discussion around student wellness spaces. And if this approach is kind of part of a bigger movement at universities and higher education to add to the landscape, to really be a recruitment driver for new students. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, health and wellness on a higher education level at Marquette University. Marquette University President Dr. Kimo Ayoun and the university's first Chief Wellness Officer Luis de Zingotita join us in studio. Again, appreciate both of your time today, spending some time with us. So, Luis, you came to Marquette with, we mentioned it earlier, a really good experience, not only with students, but on several different levels. Is this approach kind of part of a larger movement in higher education, and not only to care for the entire person, but as a way to, like, when you enter an organization, you want to know what the culture is all about. And it's the same way when you're a first-time student, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This is absolutely part of a larger movement in higher education. And I think the combination of our Catholic Jesuit mission and President Ayoun's vision to make this a priority puts us ahead of the curve. I'm part of this group called the American College Health Association, and they do a study called the National College Health Assessment. It goes to thousands of students. And it assesses what are the top reasons students don't succeed academically. So the top five reasons: procrastination, stress, anxiety, depression, and lack of sleep.
I always used to get the flu during finals week. I don't know, like,
exactly,
what happened, but it always happened.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's clear. Wellness is tied to the ability to succeed in the class. And there's a shift on focusing solely on individual care towards developing a campus-wide approach. Look, with the level of challenges we're facing, you're never going to out-therapy the mental health pandemic the same way you couldn't only treat individuals with upper respiratory during the COVID pandemic. You have to have a healthy campus culture. So we're shifting solely from that individual care to a health-promoting campus. And we're ahead of, I think they're ahead of the curve with this facility and our approach.
Yeah. Okay. I want to talk a bit, Dr. Ayoun, about kind of what you're hearing from students in terms of their needs. So talk about the shift in terms of student needs when they're approaching and making that final decision on where they want to go to school. Is it becoming more, I think we all want to be more advocates of our own personal wellness. Are you hearing that from students, and does a center like this help?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because it's a new generation, and not only are we hearing that they want it, but if you do not provide it, they will not come to your university. So it's something they expect. It's so heartening to be able to see a culture in which people are understanding and valuing their own well-being, because that's going to make them healthier for the longer period of time. And so not only do they expect it, the students are savvier consumers. Now parents are saying they want that for their children as well. Because if you're investing thousands, tens of thousands of dollars for anyone to go away, at the end of the day, you want to make sure that they're healthy and safe and cared for and have a good pathway to a good vocation upon commencement and graduation. And so it's really good. And one of the ways I also hear about it is through other presidents and other provosts who are somewhat jealous of what we've been able to create. And we're fortunate to be able to get in front of this. And so we're on the front end of pooling these services together. Other people are trying to copy it now.
Yeah. Let's talk a bit about kind of placemaking, if you will, because I think so much is said about the campus environment. But Marquette has this unique location in a very urban environment right outside of downtown Milwaukee. You got to do everything you can to connect the dots for students during their day. How do you integrate Marquette not only into the downtown landscape and the neighborhoods within, but how does a center for wellness kind of enhance those efforts, Luis?
Sure. I mean, I think it's not only our wellness center, but it's our entire campus that's focused on engaging in acts of service and community development. So it's all about us developing a collective impact and working on developing a community that's healthy. So, you know, we're really actively engaging with some community service organizations to co-host events that are focused on wellness, not only at the center, but also at community sites, so folks can begin developing healthy habits and practices. And I think also just, and you can speak to this, President Ayun, our faculty incorporate service into their curriculum and into their research and to be a leader. I believe, what rank were we ranked first for that?
First in community service in the country.
Yeah. So that speaks to the ability for us to really build a community, its capacity to be well.
Yeah. And do you hear that from the students day to day in terms of, wow, maybe this isn't the first reason I came to Marquette, but now that I'm here, it keeps them there, and hopefully bigger mission, it keeps them in Greater Milwaukee long term.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's part of it is they find ways to connect. They understand about global health of neighborhoods, communities. You know, some of the students will tell us that when they get to engage in the community and be part of it and help the way the community needs help, that it's the best part of their day, sometimes the best part of their week, and that's very powerful. And because Marquette has a reputation for doing service and being engaged in the community and want a healthy campus and a healthy community, we are attracting more and more students who want to do that. So it's just building on itself.
All right. When we come back after the break, I have two wonderful leaders and experts in front of me. I want to talk about some of the specific ways that we can all kind of shake the winter doldrums. You know, maybe the early Wisconsin blues here, and what you do each and every day. Maybe first thing you get up in the morning, what does that mental health routine look like for you? And maybe we can all take a little bit of inspiration out of your efforts. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, talking health and wellness and creating a culture of wellness at Marquette University and really within all of our communities. Luis de Zingotita, the Chief Wellness Officer at Marquette University and the President of Marquette University, Dr. Kimo Ayun, join us in studio. So a question for both of you. As we look at kind of our day-to-day lives, everyone's busy. We all got a lot on our plates, family, work, whatever it is. What are some things that we can focus on in terms of, you know, creating that good routine each and every day? Make sure that we level set when we get up in the morning. You have, Luis, do you have a routine that you stick to every morning?
Yeah, I want to preface this with that I have a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old, and I drive
to
daycare.
So sometimes they take that routine
off. This is something I have to think a lot about.
Okay.
But I think the thing about folks like us, you know, if you're like me and you have a busy life, a full life but busy, is you got to find moments, just micro moments, where you can practice a little bit of prayer or meditation, or even combine things, maybe walk and do some mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting outside, getting your nature helps me. And I think it's about intentionally seeking joy. And that looks different for everyone. So for me, I really love music and playing guitar. And just for myself, I'll pick up a guitar, maybe 10 to 15 minutes at the end of the day, play a little bit. Even things like spending time with my kids, pulling them around in the wagon. What calls to you? For some folks, it's gardening, reading. I think that finding joy and finding a moment to connect with others, just these like micro moments can go a long way. So like really intentionally carve out those moments for those parts of your wellness and celebrate yourself a bit.
Dr. Ayun, with your busy schedule, what are your priorities around wellness?
Yeah. So, you know, I got an Oura ring,
okay,
which tracks activity, sleep. So one of the things I always do is every day I review how I've slept, what activity that I was able to engage in to see whether or not I need to change my actions. Hmm. I've really focused on sleep.
Mm-hmm.
By tracking it, I know when I get less than 7 hours, more than 3 days in a row, I'm shot.
Yeah.
I usually try to need to get 1 8-hour day like every 10 days or so. But usually if I get about 7 hours, I'm in a good space. And then one of the, when I asked one of the Jesuits once, leading a Jesuit institution, what was, as a non-Jesuit, how to do it. He talked about praying every day. And so I get up every morning, and that's the first thing they do is I pray. And then after I pray, I go and look at my aura ring to see how I did the day before, to see how I'm going to move forward in the day coming forward.
Yeah, that's great. I have the Whoop band, and it gives me similar data each and every morning. So I make sure that I'm tracking my sleep and hydration and resting heart rate. Yeah. And you know when you're off, it gives you that data that you have to, all right, I got to schedule that time to really make sure that I'm seeking joy and then I'm doing the things that I need to do. Do you hear that, Luis, from students? Is there that challenge? Like, I got so much studying. I have so many things to do. What's your counsel for students?
Absolutely. I think it's about how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. I don't know if you've heard that saying. But really, what we're trying to do and what we're building is something called wellness coaches that can talk with a student around, like, what do you really want to work on? Let's build a plan. And even if you meet 50% of that plan, consider it a success. Yeah. So just pick one area. Is it I just want to – I'm feeling a little isolated. I want to connect more. Go to one event a day. Is it I really want to move more? So go twice a week to the gym, and we'll help you do that. So pick one thing that really motivates you and just commit to making one small change, because it's all about kind of exposure and then habit formation, and we're here to help you out. So my advice is, like, the more connections you make and the more you kind of take it little by little, you really start building those healthy habits.
All right. I want to conclude with a little Milwaukee talk. Luis, you're still kind of new to the market and probably finding all the wonderful things in and around our community. What, above and beyond the meditation and the reading and all the work you do each and every day, what's really appealed to you about Milwaukee as a community?
Sure. Back to my kids, I think it's just all the opportunities for me to take them to wonderful places and kind of experience fun places for families. We've got a membership to the zoo, the Milwaukee Zoo,
nice.
So which is really nice. They love the animals. There's a nice big playground there for them to kind of play. We take them to the dome sometimes. I'm excited now in the summer to find just more places. It seems like a really family-friendly town, and that's exactly what excited us about moving here.
Yeah, really comes alive in the summer,
yeah,
for sure. Dr. Ayun, what are some of your favorite kind of getaway stress relievers?
Well, Summerfest.
Yes.
That's coming soon. My wife and I like to go up to Door County.
Okay.
And so, you know, get away on a Friday, come back on a Saturday afternoon, even if it's just a night away. It's relaxing, has a lot of good places to go and eat, a lot of good places to walk around. Beautiful.
Very good. Again, I appreciate both of you taking the time out of your day and all that you do to build community, not only at Marquette University, but across the greater Milwaukee community.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that coffee?
Time for a quick look at your coffee and how much it costs. It's the Upswing's Coffee Index.
Welcome back to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. It's been a while since we've done an Upswing Coffee Index, taking a look at the price of coffee in and around the metropolitan Milwaukee area. You look kind of on a macro level. Coffee prices are surging, right? From a wholesale and a retail cost standpoint, they're reaching levels that we really haven't seen in a few decades. And slowly but surely, and this is one of the reasons we've wanted to do this ongoing Upswing Coffee Index, is because we felt like at some point we might see a little spike that the consumers and maybe the coffee shops and the hotels and kind of the entire supply chain is going to have to absorb at some point, right? Eventually, when the product gets more expensive, we're going to have to pass along those prices, higher prices, along to the consumer. A couple facts before I kind of dive into what I'm seeing. In early 2025, the wholesale price for coffee reached about $4.41 per pound. But even at that point, in early this year, that was more than double the price for a year before. So this has been coming for a while. The retail price for ground coffee in the United States hit a record high of $7.38 per pound in February. And March, that was up more than 85% if you go back to January of 2020. So the pricing increases have been coming for a while. A lot of coffee brands and retailers are raising prices. I'm seeing this in a lot of my research, and slowly but surely in a lot of the coffee places around town, retailers, cafes are looking to raise prices by about 15 to 25%, especially some of that specialty coffee where it's already higher end and they know they can command a bit higher price to begin with, as long as you got the great stuff around you and people are hanging out and you're selling a wide variety of product, hey, we can increase that price a little bit. So I did stop at a Stone Creek Coffee the other day, kind of used to a 12-ounce kind of regular cup of coffee, usually about $275, $285. I did note last week that the 12-ounce coffee, just regular drip coffee, black coffee, straight up, was $3. So then you add the tax, at least in the city of Milwaukee, and it took it to $3.25. Did I enjoy it? Oh, yeah, I enjoyed it. I love Stone Creek. They make wonderful coffee, really good employees, a really passionate, community-oriented company, a B Corp, giving back, greater good. That's what they're all about. But $3 for a 12-ounce coffee? You kind of got to wonder, like, does that begin to change the habits and patterns of the customer? We shall see, and it'll be interesting to see what the big guys do, too. I mean, so far, at least in my research, I've seen the kind of the 12-ounce standard coffee at a Starbucks or some of the similar national chains remain at about $2.75. They can probably have a little bit more scale, that's for sure, so they can keep those prices lower. But something to keep an eye on for sure. But no matter what, you know, you want to have that second cup of coffee this morning. I say, go ahead, do it. We'll be right back. I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing, and we are proudly presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing, proudly presented by Horicon Bank. Last Saturday was WTMJ Day out at the ballpark, American Family Field, the Brewers falling to the Twins, but there was that big cribbage board giveaway that I'm still seeing some high prices on eBay for those cribbage boards. It's kind of fun to see. But an amazing turnout, not only for our tailgate event, but some really good conversations. And I found it really rewarding to have some wonderful community-minded conversations about what's next for Milwaukee. I get a sense, at least in greater downtown Milwaukee, that things are going pretty well. Right? You kind of take all national politics, maybe some cost cuts. You take that macroeconomic thing off the table, if you will, and you really drill down to what is happening in downtown Milwaukee. Things look pretty good. There's a strong residential base. There's some new development coming. And there's a lot of energy, especially as we head into the Great Milwaukee Summer. But as a community, we always want to have that one thing that we can talk about, right? For so long, it was, well, I'm looking forward to the RNC. Whatever that meant to you, we look forward to the economic impact, the community impact, all the media lens that came with the RNC. We look forward to that for a long, long time. Honestly, now it seems like it was so long ago, even though last week they just announced some new economic impact numbers, and those numbers look pretty good. But again, that event seems like it was a while ago. The NFL draft, obviously in Green Bay recently, had some good ripple effects, if you will, here in downtown Milwaukee. That was a wonderful event to look forward to. So it really got me thinking, and we had some really good discussions with not only WTMJ partners and fans, but some of the people from Visit Milwaukee at the tailgate party last week. What is that next signature thing in Milwaukee that we have to look forward to? I got a couple thoughts of what it could be, but I don't know if I found that one thing. So if you want to connect with me on social media, connect with the station on social media and share your ideas around that next big community connection for Milwaukee. A few ideas, if I will. Maybe it's the removal and the reinvention of I-794. Some big meetings coming up that's going to drill down to four options. A lot of development opportunities with that spur. Many fans are truly excited about a true winterization at American Family Field that's going to enable American Family Field to be optimized with events all winter long. What's happening with the Iron District, the soccer stadium just south of downtown Milwaukee? Will that development come to fruition? Are we going to see more announcements of that this summer? What will the FPC Live music venue next to Fiserv Forum bring? Will that development be all that we expect it could be? Maybe it's the Associated Bank Theater Center, the new home for the Milwaukee Rep in downtown Milwaukee. A big project, that's for sure. Something people are really excited about, raised a lot of money. Possibly it's the downtown dog park that's going to have also a big brew pub from Foxtown right next to it. A huge development. A lot of excitement there. I saw an update on that project last week, and I think you'll see an opening later this summer that I didn't want to give a date, but you can already see, if you go by that development that's just west of the Third Ward, you can see that downtown dog park coming to life. A lot of excitement there. But you got to think, Milwaukee's next big thing, it's a combination of all the plans, the development, enhanced public spaces, new entertainment venues. We have this packed calendar of events, but we all want that one thing to latch on to. And if you want to build community and you want to grow collaboration and you want to really focus on recruitment and retention and building a greater Milwaukee, you got to focus on what's next.